Well, ladies, welcome back to Bible study. And let's just see a show of hands. How many of you are new to our evening Bible study this fall? Welcome. Let's welcome these ladies. We're so glad you're here. Now, ladies, I don't know if y'all have seen this show, but on one of our local television stations, there is a frequent report called Deal or Dud. And in it, they test some of the current products on the market to determine if the product really does what it claims to do. Does it really make good on the promises that it gives us? And then they tell us whether we should spend money on it. I mean, was the product a deal? Was the product a dud? How many of you have seen that? Yeah, I've watched it a number of times. I don't think I've ever bought any of the products because every time I watch it's a dud. But I'm sure there are deals on there sometimes. Well, as I started thinking about it, I thought about our fall study, Follow That Dream. And it occurred to me that our dreams can be deals or duds. And that we need to test our dreams to determine if they're worth following or not. We need to see if our dreams are deals or duds. So as I thought about that, I started thinking about my own life. And I've had a lot of dud dreams through the years, especially when I was a little girl. You know, little girls have big dreams. And when I was a little girl, I saw myself living in a home like Tara, where Scarlett O'Hara lives. And I saw myself as the belle of the ball with beautiful clothes. And I saw suave and debonair Rhett Butler taking me away in his carriage. Obviously, these dreams never came true. And that's why they're duds, right? They didn't make good on the dreams. And so as I grew older, I realized I wasn't going to be Scarlett O'Hara. I wasn't going to live in a mansion. I wasn't going to, you know, go away in a carriage. But I still held on to some of those dreams. I still thought somebody similar to Rhett Butler would come into my life, but no longer would he take me away in a carriage. Now it would be a Ford Mustang convertible. Now, what dreams have you had? I suspect you have had some dud dreams as well. Perhaps you've dreamed of the perfect job. You would graduate from college. You would get this wonderful job. Everyone at work would think you were the most wonderful woman in the world. You would climb the corporate ladder immediately, and before long, you would be the CEO. Many of you have dreamed of a husband. Perhaps not Rhett Butler. Perhaps you had Prince Charming in mind. Perhaps you thought this man would come into your life who would whisk you away from everything bad that had ever happened to you, like Prince Charming did for Cinderella. Or perhaps you expected your dream man to share everything in life with you, not only the good, but perhaps the chores at home. Perhaps you thought he would cook. Or perhaps you thought he would clean. Or perhaps you even thought he would be a handyman and fix things in the house. Maybe you were looking for the well-built guy. Or the perfect spiritual man, the one that would pray constantly for you and your perfect children. Perhaps your dream was to go through life spending all of your time as a couple together, traveling the world and having wonderful vistas to share together. Or perhaps your primary dream has been to have children, and of course they would be perfect angels. Smart, spiritual, obedient, polite, and helpful. Now, how do we determine if these dreams are deals or duds? So we know, do I follow this dream or do I discard this dream? Well, I want us to look at Genesis 3 because I think that what happened in Genesis 3 helps us determine whether our dreams are deals or duds. And we're going to read the first 13 verses of Genesis 3. So read along with me. Now the serpent was far more shrewd than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Is it really true that God said, 'You must not eat from any tree of the orchard?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit from the trees of the orchard, but concerning the fruit of the tree that's in the middle of the orchard, God said, 'You must not eat from it, and you must not touch it, or else you will die.'" The serpent said to the woman, "Surely you will not die, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will open, and you will be like divine beings who know good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree produced fruit that was good for food, was attractive to the eye, and was desirable for making one wise, she took some of its fruit and ate it. She also gave some of it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them opened, and they knew they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God moving about in the orchard at the breezy time of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the orchard. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" The man replied, "I heard you moving about in the orchard, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And the Lord God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." So the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you've done?" And the woman replied, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." Now, I think that the principles here apply to what we're talking about. God made a perfect world, and he put the perfect couple in it. They had everything we dream of, a perfect world, a perfect marriage. They had no sin. They had no competition. They had no sorrow. They had no sickness. They had none of those things. But into this perfect world came a tempter who deceived them. And what he did was give the woman a different dream. He said, "There is another dream out there if you'll just take it." He suggested that she could be like God. You can be a divine being. You can be like God. There's more out there than you have now. She could have more in life if she just followed the dream that he put before her instead of listening to God. But the dream was a dud. It didn't fulfill the promise that he made. It wasn't God's dream. It was a lie. They didn't become like God. They became less like God, and their world fell apart. How do we recognize a dream that's a dud? What do we see here in what the serpent gave her that can help us recognize that the dream is a dud? Well, first, we see that a dud dream does deceive you. You think it's going to give you more than it does. It appeals to self. It promises something better or more is out there. It says there's more there. There's a better life. There's more to this life. You deserve it. You can get it. It's like this dream that the deceiver gave Eve. It appealed to herself. You can be like God. There's more that you can have. If you just follow this particular dream, you can be a god. You know, this is similar to the dreams that we get when we look at other people's husbands or boyfriends, their homes, their children, their jobs, and somehow we feel we were shorted. There's more out there, and I didn't get it. I need to go after it. Everyone else has the perfect guy, the perfect family, the perfect job. I deserve more. I should be able to have that. It's the same kind of dream, and it's a dud.